And if you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know ahead of the game what might be ailing, why don't you give Nick Stoffel a text or a call. Nick, is, of course, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things with you and your family and the family at Lloyd's?
I would say they're all doing great. We made it back from our little break down in Florida, and the shop is busy, and it looks like we're going to get a little more rain tomorrow, which we probably could use and get spring going here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get going with our show here. If you have any kind of a car care question and you want to call or text, there's just one number for either. We love to hear your voice, but if it's easier to send a text like some folks are already doing, by all means, send us a text if that's the form. 651-461-9226. I was looking at a couple of other text messages that have come in actually earlier today. These both are pretty much related about electric cars. Have you or your crews there at Lloyd's ever worked on electric cars? If so, what kind of work needed to be done, basically, is the other question.
We have, other than having an electric motor versus a combustion engine, a lot of the other items are still the same: steering, suspension, brakes, tires, obviously. And, you know, we've done some of those things. We've done some brakes. We've done some suspension work. We've done some things related to the cooling systems, which they still have in order to keep those hot motors and battery at the right temp. It's just different, you know, and as time will evolve, as cars evolve, we just kind of evolve with them and take the training and get the technology and keep fixing cars.
You mentioned something I hadn't thought about before. With electric cars, you don't have oil changes. But what about coolant? You said that there still needs to be something to cool that engine down. Is it a radiator kind of thing?
It's similar, I guess. They, you know, and there's several different auxiliary pumps, you know, small little pumps. Instead of like the big water pump on a mechanical engine, they have small pumps that circulate the coolant to where it needs to be. The other thing, too, there's a lot more sensors and things to monitor the electric battery, the electric motors. Different technology, a little more training, but, you know, our guys are ready for it. We've already done a lot of training, and as we see more available, we sign up to get more of the latest information to make sure we're ready to do whatever we need.
So that's something I know you guys, you and the crew, have always done. You've kind of, well, I guess it's part of the deal. You need to keep up on your learning, and then you get tested, what, every 4 or 5 years or so? You can?
Yeah, the ASC recertifications are every 5 years, which mine are due, so I better study up. But so far, so good. But yeah, no, it's, on-the-job training is the best training, in my opinion. But when there's new technology, to get the information so you know what you're looking at and what you're dealing with, you know your limitations, parameters, it's always good to kind of keep ahead of things.
Oh, absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. And keep in mind that Nick will be with us for only about another 30 minutes. So if you have something in mind, don't wait. The sooner rather than later, as we always like to say. Time for grabbing a phone call this morning, Nick. I believe Judy's calling in from St. Paul. Hi, Judy. What's your question for Nick?
Hi. My question is, I have a 2007 Saturn Ion with over 200,000 miles. I got a new alternator this year, a new battery last year, and the car is sometimes bucking and sometimes totally kills at a red light or a stop sign, and I'm always really nervous when I'm driving it. Is there any test to find out why this happens?
Well, hopefully there's some information stored in the vehicle's computer system. So, you know, take it to your shop, have them access that computer, see if there's any history code stored, because that's the first clue. And then, you know, the vehicle's a few years older. Maybe they have some experience with that type of vehicle. Maybe there's something related to a throttle body or a position sensor. Maybe something with the ignition system that's making it misfire, so it gets that bucking feeling. And then ultimately, if things kind of get too out of line, it might stall. And then the truth is, the best experience is to be able to have that happen while your mechanic or your shop is driving the vehicle. So if you can think of a way that they can duplicate that, certain drive experiences to be able to have that happen while your mechanic or your shop is driving the vehicle. So if you can think of a way that they can duplicate that, certain drive cycle, time of the day type of conditions that they can duplicate, that would be very best case. And therefore, they'll be driving the vehicle, see what's going on, have maybe a tool connected to the vehicle to see the data at that moment, and then they can kind of go from there.
I'm looking at a text, as you know, Nick. And thanks, Judy, for the question. You see a lot of you and you guys see a lot of higher mileage. I mean, cars are lasting longer, are they not?
You know, I think, you know, she said 200,000 miles, and that doesn't even scare us anymore, where, you know, it used to be unthinkable that, you know, even 100,000 miles if you're old enough. But, you know, a couple 100,000 miles on a vehicle is probably a really good life. You know, maybe that's the time where you start thinking, do I want a new vehicle? What's available? What do they cost? You know, and if you're thinking about it, go drive one. You know, I mean, go look at them. You know, it's the auto show. You can go look at every make and model that you might like. And you might think, oh, I think I'm going to keep my car for a couple more years. Or you might think, you know, I work hard for my money. I'm ready for a new one. And that's usually what we advise people. They say, when do I get a new car? And it's like, well, when are you ready? What are your, and if you still love your vehicle, keep going with it.
And, of course, budget's always an issue. And, again, I was going to say we have the smartest listeners, and we do. And this is just a brief text, and maybe you can comment on it as far as Judy's ion. The texter just put down ion O2 sensors. Could that have been an issue?
Yeah, the oxygen sensors are definitely an important input to the computer system. They're reading the exhaust, so if it's running too rich or too lean, it sends that information to the computer so it can adjust the mixtures. If the sensors are not reading properly, it can definitely can confuse the computer, which can make it search for an idle or search for the right mixture. So that's very possible.
Yeah, good. Thanks for that input. We need to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners next to join in on the conversation. Time goes by so quickly. So let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car, truck, van problem you may be having, let Nick do a little analysis for you this Saturday morning. Right now in the Twin Cities, 37 degrees. We could hit 60 today. Going to be a nice day. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. 7 o'clock hour, right after the 7 o'clock news break. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for those folks, and I know you guys at Lloyd's get folks from all over CCO land that reach out to get their vehicle repaired. Folks that don't know, however, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question or need a little advice before you take your car to your local shop, dealer, or wherever, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand, get in a bite to eat or do a little shopping, swing and say hi. We're at 982 Grand at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. And finally, I'd really appreciate if you take a look at our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
L-L-O-Y-D-S, automotive.net. Very good. We'll get you that info when Nick leaves us about 7:45 or so this morning. Let's grab a phone call. Nick, Karen calling in, I believe, from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Karen. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. I have a 2017 Pathfinder that I bought used from a dealership. I've had it in 5 times to their shop, mostly with timing issues. And the last time I took it in, I noticed when I start the car and all your dash lights come on, that my check engine light doesn't ever come on. Is it possible that they disabled that?
It would be pretty difficult. Quite honestly, you'd probably have to remove the bulb, which means you're removing the instrument panel or the cluster. So I doubt it. I know we always, you know, sometimes we're worried that maybe somebody wasn't being honest. And, you know, I don't want to speak for any situation, obviously, because I don't know. But typically something like that would be too much work to go through to try to fool somebody. So I doubt it, honestly.
Okay. Good question. I understand where it comes from. But, yeah, like you said, it's more work than the end result. Good luck, Karen. I'd like to hear a result if you get the problem solved. Call us back sometime. Let us know what happened, if you would. This texter says, tell me about brake fluid. Does it get dirty after 30 to 40,000 miles, or does brake fluid rarely need changing? Good question.
It is a good question. It absolutely does get dirty, and it will affect the quality of the braking. It'll affect the way the calipers work. It's a hydroscopic fluid, meaning it absorbs moisture, and so it should be pretty clear-ish, depending on what type of brake fluid you have, sometimes dot 3 or dot 4, so there might be a little different tint to it. But if you look at that reservoir, which is kind of near the firewall at the base of the windshield on the driver's side, in most all vehicles, if that fluid is starting to look kind of brown or dark, it's probably due to be serviced or changed. We do perform brake fluid flushes, as we call them, which requires removing the wheels, open the bleeders, and get all that fluid out of the system, out of the brake calipers, the reservoir, and refilled with fresh fluid. So that mileage is probably, depending on the vehicle and your driving habits, kind of in the window where you'll look at replacing that. Another good time to do it is when you're having your brakes repaired or replaced. You know, if you have the wheels already off to do a service, sometimes it's easiest to do it at the same time.
Okay. Another text I'm reading about a 2012 Jeep Liberty. When in, I'm sure they mean four-wheel drive, the front wheel buckle, my goodness, when sharp turning, is that normal? I'm not sure. Does it actually buckle? Have you heard any issues with a Jeep Liberty as far as in four-wheel drive, the front wheel buckling?
I think what they're getting at, and you can remember 2 years ago, all-wheel drive vehicles kind of have, they're kind of four-wheel drive, so you have power when needed at the right wheels, where four-wheel drive is more of like a mechanical engagement. And if you put a vehicle into four-wheel drive, even like, you know, the truck that I drive when I have in the winter when I'm plowing, you put it into four-wheel drive and you're trying to make a tight turn, the wheels need to be able to slip, and sometimes there's more resistance there because you have that mechanical connection with the transmission, transfer case, front wheels, rear wheels. So it makes it lumber, or, you know, maybe they're using the term buckle just because it's not smooth like they're accustomed to. So that probably is normal in four-wheel drive. That being said, you don't really hardly need four-wheel drive, obviously in the worst of winter days maybe, or if you're in an off-road condition. But for the most part, all-wheel drive or front-wheel drive is more than sufficient.
I know I've asked you this before. I brought it up, and I keep forgetting to do it myself. Now, my wife's vehicle, which I call a truck because it is, it's got a selector switch. It doesn't have an extra shift lever, but it does have a selector switch from, you know, if you just want to leave it in normal all-wheel drive, whatever, and then there's four high and four low. Haven't you suggested before that you should at least kind of exercise the different functions from time to time, which I haven't, I admit.
I would. You know, there's a lot of the features that we rarely use, and then when the day that we need them, we hope that they work. You know, the selector switch for the four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive is a good example. The door locks, which we talk about quite often, you know, most of these key fobs have a blade hidden, and then most often on the driver's door, there's still a slot to enter the key. Exercise that, you know. So the day that your battery's dead or your key fob is dead, you can't get into the vehicle, to be able to have that door unlock in that moment would be really useful. So some of these things that we don't always use, it's not a bad idea to, like you said, exercise them.
Yeah, the key thing I should do is nice day, no excuse. It's not cold. It's not raining. It's a good idea to try to use that key, which, like you said, sometimes or usually is hidden in there. What about lubricant? We get questions about this all the time. Before we head to the weather break here, what I know in some cases people say, well, don't use WD-40. It's a good product for various uses, but not for that particular one. If somebody wants to lubricate their locks, their door hinges, and all of that stuff, what would you recommend?
You know, if you look around a little bit, there's like a graphite type product. That you're just trying to keep things clean mostly and slightly lubricated. I think some of these penetrating type products will collect dirt and kind of get gummed up and make matters worse. So I would agree, if you do want to use something, very sparingly. You just want to make sure things move smoothly. You're not trying to make it better than what it is. It just has to lock and unlock the door. So don't go fill up the door with a bunch of oil. But, you know, a little graphite wouldn't hurt.
Less is more. Yeah, exactly. All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a look at that forecast. Looks pretty nice. We'll fill you in on the details. And if you have any kind of a car care question, we urge you, give us a call or text. Dan, I'm sure, well, Dan, I'm thinking about Dan because I talked to him the other day. Nick will be answering those questions till Jack Farrell gets here about 7:45. So don't wait. 651-461-9226 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stauffel, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, tons of questions here. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave. Here is another text. Texter says, I have a Toyota Camry, 300,000 miles on it, burns a lot of oil. Do you think I can add additives? And do you think I could change the viscosity of oil, maybe bump that up too? What would you recommend? I know what you're going to say about the additives, but, 300,000 miles, a lot of good service on that Camry. What do you think?
You're right. I would say you're not going to fix a vehicle out of a can. However, a lot of miles, the products aren't too expensive. It's worth a try. If you can help it a little bit, why not, right? And then changing the weight of oil. Typically, we always say do what the owner's manual says. This vehicle is older. It's got a lot of miles on it. Maybe bumping it one weight to, make a little heavier oil. Maybe that helps, I guess. I'd be curious to see, though, the pull spark plug. Take a look. Try to determine how it's burning the oil and then see if there's any simpler solution to try to help minimize that issue.
Yeah. Good service, though, as I said. Wow, 300,000. Here's a hybrid question from a listener. If after a few years you start to have issues with the electric function, can you just ignore the problems with that and rely on the gas engine exclusively? That's an interesting question.
Depending on the vehicle and the problem, probably not. They're kind of designed to work hand in hand. It's not really built or meant to be just driven all the time. I think you'll find, though, as things age and sometimes things deteriorate, you might find out that it's using more of the combustion engine than the battery. But I don't think you'll run into a situation where it just quits on you and you only have just the one.
Okay. This listener sent a text about a 2015 Equinox. This listener always wondered what the M selection on the shifter was for. It says, I tried once and used the plus or minus selection on the shift knob, but nothing happened. I thought this was to shift manually. Isn't that kind of what it is, though, in many cars?
That's correct. Usually, if you can kind of pull the shifter from, park, reverse, neutral, drive, and sometimes two and one are there. And then often you can slide it to the left or the right, which puts it into that manual function. Maybe in this case they need to start with it. You can't, once you've been driving, maybe you can't go into manual. It depends on the vehicle. But I would say if you're looking for that sportier feel, a little more control, you can try using that. But that's really the only reason or the only functionality, I guess, that I would see why you would want to do that.
Yeah, indeed. Another one, let's see. I have, texter says, a 2010 Chevy Equinox, 147,000 miles on it. And from time to time, when I start out driving, it goes first, second, third gear, then it backs off the second and stays there. I will pull the car over, stop, start it up again. It will clear the problem, then we'll drive normally. This has been doing this intermittently for a couple of weeks now, wondering what it might be.
I think what's happening is that the vehicle's computer system doesn't like what it sees going on, so it puts into limping mode. You shut the vehicle off, you reset things, and it goes again. That gets you to where you need to be going, but that's not the solution for sure. There is likely a bigger problem that maybe or actually should be resolved before it becomes a bigger problem, I guess is the best way to put it. But I would have that assessed, looked at least figure out what's going on, because the trick to restart it, just keep going, is only going to last for so long, and at some point you're going to be stranded. So I would get that looked at before you have a bigger problem.
Ken, I know we talked about transmission and fluid, et cetera, but is there a way, I mean, can you even check, can the do-it-yourself or just, you know, us normal folks, if you want to call us normal, check the transmission fluid? Is there even a dipstick anymore?
Not really. Most vehicles are not equipped with a dipstick, and my advice would be, unless you're extremely comfortable and confident, I wouldn't mess with that. The fluid level is very touchy. You get underneath there and you start looking at these drain plugs, and you know, oftentimes the differential and the transmission are right next to each other. So unless you know exactly what you're looking at, you don't want to start taking things apart. So I would advise somebody, unless they absolutely know what they're doing, I would probably keep away from doing that service at home.
And before we head out of here, another smart listener has the same Equinox with that problem. The explanation of M is in the owner's manual. Thanks for the show. And as we like to advise, yeah, do that once in a while. Read the owner's manual. And I'm always surprised at what I find in there when I take the time to do that. So thanks for that. And Nick, for those who need help at Lloyd's, how do we find you again?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And as you know, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, 982 Grand in St. Paul. And as always, check out our website, lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do exactly that. And I know I'll see you maybe in another week or two. And in the meantime, let's have another show next Saturday.
That sounds like a plan.
Good deal. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead here on CCO, followed by, in the 8 o'clock hour, our Smart Garden Show, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all those lawn and garden questions. That's all straight ahead here in News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And if you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know ahead of the game what might be ailing, why don't you give Nick Stoffel a text or a call? Nick is, of course, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things with you and your family and the family at Lloyd's?
I would say they're all doing great. We made it back from our little breakdown in Florida, and the shop is busy, and it looks like we're going to get a little more rain tomorrow, which we probably could use and get spring going here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get going with our show here. If you have any kind of a car care question and you want to call or text, there's just one number for either. We love to hear your voice, but if it's easier to send a text like some folks are already doing, by all means, send us a text if that's the form. 651-461-9226. I was looking at a couple of other text messages that have come in actually earlier today. These both are pretty much related about electric cars. Have you or your crews there at Lloyd's ever worked on electric cars? If so, what kind of work needed to be done, basically, is the other question.
We have, other than having an electric motor versus a combustion engine, a lot of the other items are still the same: steering, suspension, brakes, tires, obviously. And, you know, we've done some of those things. We've done some brakes. We've done some suspension work. We've done some things related to the cooling systems, which they still have in order to keep those hot motors and battery at the right temp. It's just different, you know, and as time will evolve, as cars evolve, we just kind of evolve with them and take the training and get the technology and keep fixing cars.
You mentioned something I hadn't thought about before. One thing, with electric cars, you don't have oil changes. But what about coolant? You said that there still needs to be something to cool that engine down. Is it a radiator kind of thing?
It's similar, I guess. They, you know, and there's several different auxiliary pumps, you know, small little pumps instead of like the big water pump on a mechanical engine. They have small pumps that circulate the coolant to where it needs to be. And, you know, the other thing too, there's a lot more sensors and things to monitor the electric battery, the electric motors. And so there's, like I said, back to different technology, a little more training, but, you know, our guys are ready for it. We've already done a lot of training, and as we see more available, we sign up to get more of the latest information to make sure we're ready to do whatever we need.
So that's something I know you guys, you and the crew, have always done. You've kind of, well, I guess it's part of the deal. You need to keep up on your learning, and then you get tested, what, every 4 or 5 years or so? You can?
Yeah, the ASC recertifications are every 5 years, which mine are due. So I better study up. But so far so good. But yeah, no, it's you know, on the job training is the best training in my opinion. But when there's new technology, to get the information so you know what you're looking at and what you're dealing with, you know your limitations, parameters. It's always good to kind of keep ahead of things.
Oh, absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. And keep in mind that Nick will be with us for only about another 30 minutes. So if you have something in mind, don't wait. The sooner rather than later, as we always like to say. Time for grabbing a phone call this morning, Nick. I believe Judy's calling in from St. Paul. Hi, Judy. What's your question for Nick?
Hi. My question is, I have a 2007 Saturn Ion with over 200,000 miles. I got a new alternator this year, a new battery last year, and the car is sometimes bucking and sometimes totally kills at a red light or a stop sign, and I'm always really nervous when I'm driving it. Is there any test to find out why this happens?
Well, hopefully there's some information stored in the vehicle's computer system. So, you know, take it to your shop, have them access that computer, see if there's any history code stored, because that's the first clue. And then, you know, the vehicle's a few years older. Maybe they have some experience with that type of vehicle. Maybe there's something related to a throttle body or a position sensor. Maybe something with the ignition system that's making it misfire, so it gets that bucking feeling. And then ultimately, if things kind of get too out of line, it might stall. And then the truth is, the best experience is to be able to have that happen while your mechanic or your shop is driving the vehicle. So if you can think of a way that they can duplicate that, certain drive experiences to be able to have that happen while your mechanic or your shop is driving the vehicle. So if you can think of a way that they can duplicate that, certain drive cycle, time of the day type of conditions that they can duplicate, that would be very best case. And therefore, they'll be driving the vehicle, see what's going on, have maybe a tool connected to the vehicle to see the data at that moment, and then they can kind of go from there.
I'm looking at a text. As you know, Nick, and thanks, Judy, for the question. You see a lot of, you guys see a lot of higher mileage. I mean, cars are lasting longer, are they not?
You know, I think, you know, she said 200,000 miles, and that doesn't even scare us anymore, where, you know, it used to be unthinkable that, you know, even 100,000 miles if you were old enough. But, you know, a couple 100,000 miles on a vehicle is probably a really good life. You know, maybe that's the time where you start thinking, do I want a new vehicle? What's available? What do they cost? You know, and if you're thinking about it, go drive one. You know, I mean, go look at them. You know, it's the auto show. You can go look at every make and model that you might like. And you might think, oh, I think I'm going to keep my car for a couple more years. Or you might think, you know, I work hard for my money. I'm ready for a new one. And that's usually what we advise people. They say, when do I get a new car? And it's like, well, when are you ready? What are your, and if you still love your vehicle, keep going with it.
And of course, budget's always an issue. And again, I was going to say we have the smartest listeners, and we do. And this is just a brief text, and maybe you can comment on it as far as Judy's Ion. The texter just put down Ion O2 sensors. Could that have been an issue?
Yeah, the oxygen sensors are definitely an important input to the computer system. They're reading the exhaust, so if it's running too rich or too lean, it sends that information to the computer so it can adjust the mixtures. If the sensors are not reading properly, it can definitely can confuse the computer, which can make it search for an idle or search for the right mixture. So that's very possible.
Yeah, good. Thanks for that input. We need to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners next to join in on the conversation. Time goes by so quickly. So let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car, truck, van problem you may be having, let Nick do a little analysis for you this Saturday morning. Right now in the Twin Cities, 37 degrees. We could hit 60 today. Going to be a nice day. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. 7 o'clock hour, right after the 7 o'clock news break. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for those folks, and I know you guys at Lloyd's get folks from all over CCO land that reach out to get their vehicle repaired. Folks that don't know, however, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question or need a little advice before you take your car to your local shop, dealer, or wherever, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand, get in a bite to eat or do a little shopping, swing and say hi. We're at 982 Grand at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. And finally, I'd really appreciate if you take a look at our website at LloydsAutomotive.net.
L-L-O-I-D-S, automotive.net. Very good. We'll get you that info when Nick leaves us about 7:45 or so this morning. Let's grab a phone call. Nick, Karen calling in, I believe, from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Karen. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. I have a 2017 Pathfinder that I bought used from a dealership. I've had it in 5 times to their shop, mostly with timing issues. And the last time I took it in, I noticed when I start the car and all of your dash lights come on, that my check engine light doesn't ever come on. Is it possible that they disabled that?
It would be pretty difficult. Quite honestly, you'd probably have to remove the bulb, which means you're removing the instrument panel or the cluster. So I doubt it. I know we always, you know, sometimes we're worried that maybe somebody wasn't being honest. And, you know, I don't want to speak for any situation, obviously, because I don't know. But typically, something like that would be too much work to go through to try to fool somebody. So I doubt it, honestly.
Okay. Good question. I understand where it comes from. But, yeah, like you said, it's more work than the end result. Good luck, Karen. I'd like to hear a result if you get the problem solved. Call us back sometime. Let us know what happened, if you would. This texter says, tell me about brake fluid. Does it get dirty after 30 to 40,000 miles, or does brake fluid rarely need changing? Good question.
It is a good question. It absolutely does get dirty, and it will affect the quality of the braking. It'll affect the way the calipers work. It's a hydroscopic fluid, meaning it absorbs moisture, and so it should be pretty clear-ish depending on what type of brake fluid you have. Sometimes .3 or .4, so there might be a little different tint to it. But if you look at that reservoir, which is kind of near the firewall at the base of the windshield on the driver's side, and most all vehicles, if that fluid is starting to look kind of brown or dark, it's probably due to be serviced or changed. We do perform brake fluid flushes, as we call them, which requires removing the wheels, opening the bleeders, and get all that fluid out of the system, out of the brake calipers, the reservoir, and refilled with fresh fluid. So that mileage is probably, depending on the vehicle and your driving habits, kind of in the window where you'll look at replacing that. Another good time to do it is when you're having your brakes repaired or replaced. You know, if you have the wheels already off to do a service, sometimes it's easiest to do at the same time.
Okay. Another text I'm reading about a 2012 Jeep Liberty. When in, I'm sure they mean four-wheel drive, the front wheel buckle, my goodness, when sharp turning, is that normal? I'm not sure. Does it actually buckle? Have you had or heard any issues with a Jeep Liberty as far as in four-wheel drive, the front wheel buckling?
I think what they're getting at, and you can remember 2 years ago, all-wheel drive vehicles kind of have, they're kind of four-wheel drive, so you have power when needed at the right wheels, where four-wheel drive is more of like a mechanical engagement. And if you put a vehicle into four-wheel drive, even like, you know, the truck that I drive when I have in the winter when I'm plowing, you put it into four-wheel drive and you're trying to make a tight turn, the wheels need to be able to slip, and sometimes there's more resistance there because you have that mechanical connection with the transmission, transfer case, front wheels, rear wheels. So it makes it lumber, or, you know, maybe they're using the term buckle just because it's not smooth like they're accustomed to. So that probably is normal in four-wheel drive. That being said, you don't really hardly need four-wheel drive, obviously in the worst of winter days maybe, or if you're in an off-road condition. But for the most part, all-wheel drive or front-wheel drive is more than sufficient.
I know I've asked you this before. I brought it up, and I keep forgetting to do it myself. Now, my wife's vehicle, which I call a truck because it is, it's got a selector switch. It doesn't have an extra shift lever, but it does have a selector switch from, you know, if you just want to leave it in normal all-wheel drive, whatever, and then there's four high and four low. Should haven't you suggested before that you should at least kind of exercise the different functions from time to time, which I haven't, I admit.
I would. You know, there's a lot of the features that we rarely use, and then when the day that we need them, we hope that they work. You know, the selector switch for the four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive is a good example. The door locks, which we talk about quite often, you know, most of these key fobs have a blade hidden, and then most often on the driver's door, there's still a slot to enter the key. Exercise that, you know, so the day that your battery's dead or your key fob is dead, you can't get into the vehicle, to be able to have that door unlock and that moment would be really useful. So some of these things that we don't always use, it's not a bad idea to, like you said, exercise them.
Yeah, the key thing I should do is nice day, no excuse. It's not cold. It's not raining. It's a good idea to try to use that key, which, like you said, sometimes or usually is hidden in there. What about lubricant? We get questions about this all the time. Before we head to the weather break here, what I know in some cases people say, well, don't use WD-40. It's a good product for various uses, but not for that particular one. If somebody wants to lubricate their locks, their door hinges, and all of that stuff, what would you recommend?
You know, if you look around a little bit, there's like a graphite type product. That you're just trying to keep things clean mostly and slightly lubricated. I think some of these penetrating type products will collect dirt and kind of get gummed up and make matters worse. So I would agree, whatever you, if you do want to use something, very sparingly. You just want to make sure things move smoothly. You're not trying to make it better than what it is. It just has to lock and unlock the door. So don't go fill up the door with a bunch of oil. Graphite wouldn't hurt.
Less is more. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a look at that forecast. Looks pretty nice. We'll fill you in on the details. And if you have any kind of a car question, we urge you, give us a call or text. Dan, I'm thinking about Dan because I talked to him the other day. Nick will be answering those questions till Jack Farrell gets here about 7:45. So don't wait. 651-461-9226 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with Nick Stauffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, tons of questions here. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave. Here is another text. Texter says, I have a Toyota Camry, 300,000 miles on it, burns a lot of oil. Do you think I can add additives? And do you think I could change the viscosity of oil, maybe bump that up too? What would you recommend? I know what you're going to say about the additives, but, 300,000 miles, a lot of good service on that Camry. What do you think?
You're right. I would say you're not going to fix a vehicle out of a can. However, you know, a lot of miles, the products aren't too expensive. It's worth a try. If you can help it a little bit, why not, right? And then changing the weight of oil. Typically, we always say do what the owner's manual says. This vehicle's older. It's got a lot of miles on it. Maybe bumping it one weight to, you know, make it a little heavier oil. Maybe that helps, I guess. I'd be curious to see, though, the pull a spark plug, take a look, try to determine how it's burning the oil and then see if there's any simpler solution to try to help minimize that issue.
Yeah. Good service, though, as I said. Wow, 300,000. Here's a hybrid question from a listener. If after a few years you start to have issues with the electric function, can you just ignore the problems with that and rely on the gas engine exclusively? That's an interesting question.
You know, depending on the vehicle and the problem, probably not. They're kind of designed to work hand in hand. It's not really built or meant to be just driven all the time. I think you'll find, though, as things age and sometimes things deteriorate, you might find out that it's using more of the combustion engine than the battery. But I don't think you'll run into a situation where it just quits on you and you only have just the one.
Okay. This listener sent a text about a 2015 Equinox. This listener always wondered what the M selection on the shifter was for. It says, he or she said, I tried once and used the plus or minus selection on the shift knob, but nothing happened. I thought this was to shift manually. Isn't that kind of what it is, though, in many cars?
That's correct. Usually, if you can kind of pull the shifter from, you know, park, reverse, neutral, drive, and sometimes two and one are there. And then often you can slide it to the left or the right, which puts it into that manual function. Maybe in this case they need to start with it. You can't, you know, once you've been driving, maybe you can't go into manual. It depends on the vehicle. But I would say if you're looking for that sportier feel, a little more control, you can try using that. But that's really the only reason or the only functionality, I guess, that I would see why we'd want to do that.
Yeah, indeed. Another one, let's see, I have, texture says, a 2010 Chevy Equinox, 147,000 miles on it, and from time to time, when I start out driving, it goes first, second, third gear, then it backs off the second and stays there. I will pull the car over, stop, start it up again, it will clear the problem, then we'll drive normally. This has been doing this intermittently for a couple of weeks now, wondering what it might be.
I think what's happening is that the vehicle's computer system doesn't like what it sees going on, so it puts into limping mode. You shut the vehicle off, you reset things, and it goes again. That gets you to where you need to be going, but that's not the solution for sure. There is likely a bigger problem that maybe, or actually should be resolved before it becomes a bigger problem, I guess is the best way to put it. But I would have that assessed, looked at least figure out what's going on, because the trick to restart it, just keep going, is only going to last for so long, and at some point you're going to be stranded. So I would get that looked at before you have a bigger problem.
Ken, I know we talked about transmission and fluid, et cetera, but is there a way, I mean, can you even check, can the do-it-yourself or just, you know, us normal folks, if you want to call us normal, check the transmission fluid? Is there even a dipstick anymore?
Not really. Most vehicles are not equipped with a dipstick, and my advice would be, unless you're extremely comfortable and confident, I wouldn't mess with that. The fluid level is very touchy. You get underneath there and you start looking at these drain plugs, and you know, oftentimes the differential and the transmission are right next to each other. So unless you know exactly what you're looking at, you don't want to start taking things apart. So I would advise somebody, unless they absolutely know what they're doing, I would probably keep away from doing that service at home.
And before we head out of here, another smart listener has the same Equinox with that problem. The explanation of M is in the owner's manual. Thanks for the show. And as we like to advise, yeah, do that once in a while. Read the owner's manual, and I'm always surprised at what I find in there when I take the time to do that. So thanks for that. And Nick, for those who need help at Lloyd's, how do we find you again?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And as you know, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, 982 Grand in St. Paul. And as always, check out our website, lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do exactly that. And I know I'll see you maybe in another week or two. And in the meantime, let's have another show next Saturday.
That sounds like a plan.
Good deal. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead here on CCO, followed by, in the 8 o'clock hour, our Smart Garden Show Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney, answering all those lawn and garden questions. That's all straight ahead here in News Talk 830. This is WCCO.